You're tuned into Madiba's Radio, broadcasting live from Nelson Mandela University.
I have fought against white domination. And I have fought against black domination. I have studied the idea of a democratic and free society, in which all persons live together in harmony and with equal opportunity. It is an idea which I hope to live for and to achieve. But if need be, it is an idea for which
Nelson Mandela University. Change the world.
Of course, another week, and we are back here on the Law Show Science Package here on Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. And of course, you are here with two award-winning presenters. Like, actually, we just gotta have that flex.
Let the people know what you want. Okay, first we have to introduce ourselves, because, like,
you know, just for
formality. I'm already excited because I want to hear.
Literally. But of course, my name is Cook. It's Hello and Global. I like to call myself the brightest star on the airways. And I'm not alone, of course. I'm with the wonderful, the award-winning, the iconic.
I am Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets. What's up? Okay, award winner. Tell me, what award did you win?
I mean, I was one of the winners for best presenter.
So sorry to the crowd. So sorry to the audience. Oh my gosh.
Yep. But why are you acting like you also didn't win?
I just got top journalist. And I just saw it. And I was like, oh my God, that's so cool. Because it's like an all-rounder type thing.
Literally.
Right? It was, oh my God, you got best presenter. That's amazing.
Congratulations.
We got to put it in our bios at this point.
Literally. Like, we have to put it on LinkedIn, CVs, everywhere.
They better know. Who are they dealing with?
Literally, they must know.
Oh my goodness, congrats.
And thank you. Even though, the topics for today.
They are so murky.
Yeah, they're very serious. And it's like, I don't even know, should we start with the one that's not so murky? Or should we just get straight into it?
Absolutely not. Let's go not so murky. Please. It's so dark.
Because, listen, we've got, it's too much.
Too many things happening.
It's too much. Now, if you don't know, this season, we are approaching exam season, not only for universities, but also for high schools. It is that time where the matrix are about to write their NSC exams on Tuesday this week.
Really? Yo, that was like one of the most hard time. Okay, prelims apparently are like the hardest exam that you'll ever write or whatever. And whenever you get like results back from prelims, they always say, okay, that's what the marker is basically for what your finals are going to look like. That's when you push.
Literally.
And you fight for your life. Prelims are also happening in September and August. If it's not wind, it's spring. There's a lot happening.
Literally.
So I can imagine now, like, yikes.
It's already final exams. The matrix are stressing because, listen, like, one thing, matric was not a nice time.
It really wasn't.
It wasn't fun.
They tried to convince you that, you know what, you're about to. Also, you're thinking about your future.
True.
That's uncomfortable.
So not only with all these exams, now you got to apply to varsities and colleges.
Exactly.
And decide, what do you want to pursue? Meantime, everybody's on your throat like, you better pass.
Exactly. And it's like, why aren't you studying? And you're like, hi, bo.
Give us peace.
You're trying to have a meal. Why aren't you studying? Okay, but like, can I eat in peace?
Literally.
Just a little bit. Just a meal.
And that's how it be. Like, they abuse matrix too much. Like, but if you didn't know, actually, the South African Democratic Teachers Union has urged educational authorities to tighten security. Because, listen, one thing about matric papers, they stay leaking.
One thing up, actually. And you know what? It's always the physics and maths papers.
Literally.
It's always the physics. Also, I understand it, Shem. Yes, guys.
I get it.
I fully get it. Physics and maths are really, really difficult. So definitely, like, close ranks and try to figure out what's going on. But also, I cannot imagine.
Because
Inevs, on top of security, on top of the actual...
Like, it's too much, because from, like, the teacher's perspective, it's like, if, like, for example, a paper does leak, like, if one of the teachers were, like, a mini-mini, then it's like, you can lose your job. And for a learner, if you get caught with a leaked paper, you get suspended for, like, 5 years.
Imagine, 5 years, no matric, no nothing, no way forward, just sitting in limbo.
Literally, and I feel like... I always feel, not to say sorry, but like imagine you're on a group chat with your friends and then one person just drops the paper on the group chat.
You're all witnesses at that point.
Literally, there's nothing
somebody
you can do.
Got a snitch, and that's the thing, snitches get stitches. So it gets very awkward very quickly.
And it's like, I feel like this is going to be a very murky opinion.
Okay.
If you're going to get a leaked paper, you better make you better keep that circle tight.
It better be people you trust.
Like,
it's gotta be people you trust.
Even two people's a lot.
Yeah, no. Also, I think that's also the thing is, I feel like every group of friends has that one friend that talks too much.
True.
That cannot keep things. Anna's fuba.
Literally.
Bona, Hana a cup, Anna's fuba at all. Like, nothing. And that one person is the one, the most likely to actually do you guys dirty.
And it's like,
what? Because they just talk to anybody.
And the old man be like, oh, yeah, the last paper.
It was so easy. But like, yeah, it's because I had it. Excuse you.
You don't drop that information.
Don't get too happy.
Literally.
Drop that information 5 years after we've matriculated. Even then, you can't say it out loud.
Yeah.
During the people. Yeah, no. But we're not, guys, we're not endorsing cheating.
Yeah, we're not endorsing
it. We're saying... If it happens,
then do it smartly.
You know what I mean? Like, be like, look alive, for goodness sakes. I think the main problem is everybody's on social media nowadays.
Mm.
So it's very easy for like these things to spread. I remember last year a paper got leaked and I remember like it was just like a mess. I don't even know what happened at the end where everybody from this one school had a paper. And then it turned out that everybody from the region had that paper and they got it from a Saturday school teacher.
Ooh.
And I'm like, guys, hey.
Like.
Because then it spread. Saturday school, everybody goes to a Saturday school. So it's different schools. So you can imagine once it spread that widely, it's like, it's over, guys. Now we have to rewrite.
Ish. And I don't like that aspect. Well, I guess it's fair, but like the rewriting aspect is not fun.
Especially if you didn't cheat.
Literally. Because I remember in my matric year, it was 2020. So it's like, it was COVID and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
I remember for the June exams, I think it was the life science paper that leaked in my school.
Oh my God.
And listen, because my school was like very tiny. I think we're only like 22 people in the whole matric group.
You're a private school kid, ain't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, we can tell.
So the life science paper leaked and some people in the class had it. I did not have it.
Oh my goodness.
Not have it. And apparently one of the learners got it from a person from another school.
See?
So it's just like, how did it end up in my school? I don't know. But it was a whole scandal.
Oh,
we had to rewrite. And it was like, at that point, I was just like angry that we had to rewrite. But absolutely. I was also like, hey, you know.
Maybe I can put some marks here because I already saw what it looks like at the beginning.
You know. And
so.
And even like, I remember in November for the final exam, I remember, which one was it? I think it was the physics paper. It wasn't in my school, but it was just like in the area, the physics paper had leaked. And there was a debate as to whether we need to rewrite, not to rewrite. And I was praying. I was hoping to the universe, God, everybody up there that like, please. Because that paper murdered me. Like, it murdered me down.
Really?
So, and it was the last paper, like, my whole exam.
Oh, no, season. I would definitely not want to rewrite it.
So I'm just like, I don't want to come back.
I don't want to be re-traumatized by this paper.
Literally. And I think, was it the president, not the president, but the, what do you call it? The minister. Yes, the minister at the time, Angie Motshekga. She was on some, I think, was it Angie Motshekga? Was it AfriForum? I don't know which organization, like, tackled her. Not, like, physically, but, you know, like, kind of, like, tackled her. And then we didn't end up actually rewriting.
Oh, like, yes, thank goodness.
Yes. Because, imagine, because we would have written, like, mid-December.
That is horrible. I cannot imagine that also. People are at Groove, your family's in festive season, you're studying. And you know what the thing is? Once something like that happens, you best believe your family's going to be even stricter on you now.
True.
Because, like, I'm sure you're going to cheat, I mean.
So.
Funda.
You must lock in.
You know how to cheat, you can know how to learn.
And so, please.
The only thing, I think, for me, in my high school, the only thing that leaked were results. Oh, my mom hates my high school to this day. She vows she does not mess with kids from my high school because of that. in the middle of the night, people are just like, Kat, this is what you got. And I'm like, wait, what?
How do you, what do you know? Mean?
First of all, how'd you cram my number? Let's start there.
Like, let's get into that.
Second of all, why are results being leaked the night before? We could, like, it ruined the entire thing. You know, when you go to, like, the garage and you buy a newspaper and you open it up and you celebrate with the family. That just didn't happen for us.
Literally.
I just found out when I was in bed and I was like, okay, like, let me go to sleep now. There's no point in staying up all night.
Because
I was just like, girl, I passed. That's important. That's what we learned. We'll go get my results tomorrow. Let's go. Let's sleep. And we slept. But she was so mad.
Because
she was
like,
so mad. Anytime anyone mentions Sunwood Park, she's just like, I cannot stand those kids. They leak results.
Imagine.
Can't stand them.
But, you know, at least we have the results. We passed. And I feel like,
look at us.
We're here. Like
award winning. Mm-hmm. Okay. Matric passing. Mm-hmm. Come on.
So to the class of 2025, if you're listening and you're like, yo, it's about to go down.
Don't worry
I'm
about
stressed.
It.
Look at us. We're here. We're thriving. We're happy.
Mm, you'll be on the other side of it in no time.
And I feel like unpopular opinion, in as much as, yes, university and university exams and just university in general is like so stressful and there's so much pressure, way more than like in matric.
Facts.
I feel like one thing I do like about university is that, like, as we mentioned earlier, in matric, everybody's down your throat.
Yes.
But in varsity, no one's on your throat.
No one's going to be jumping down your throat. What? Do you know what I'm studying? Let's start there. Do you know what module I'm writing?
Mm.
Let's go there. The content, you don't want to jump down my throat for that. You don't know what's going on.
Exactly. So it's, even if somebody's like, you know, oh, it's exam season, you better study. It's kind of like, that's your baby to deal
with. Yeah, that's literally all you can say at that point. You can't be telling me, oh, why aren't you? No, I'm far from home. There's no one jumping down my throat telling me, why aren't you studying right now? They don't know my process. And that's, I think, way healthier.
Then now I'm a chick way. Oh.
Everybody. Also, it's the entirety of like the neighborhood knowing that you're in matric because you're wearing a white jersey.
Ish.
Like, there's so much. Don't embarrass our household. You can see. Oh, no. It's just too much to bear.
It's a lot. People even asking you, like, the next year, fair black. So, did you pass?
Yeah. We're happy. Where are you going to study? Oh.
Like,
what do you mean?
Leave us alone.
Why are you in my business?
Like, I even reminds me of matric jackets. Ah, the memories.
What? Ugh, I still have mine. I haven't worn it in a long time, though.
I think after matric, I didn't wear it again.
Me neither, actually.
Like,
I see people wearing it like as drip around campus. So I'm just like, first of all, if I show you my matric jacket, I'm going to show you my age. And we're not doing that.
Yeah.
We're not doing that. Let's start there. But also, I just didn't feel the need. Like, it's cute, but it's not like that type of cute.
You know,
our jacket design wasn't the best.
I feel like my beef with mine is that the design was proper, but like the designers didn't agree. Because you know how like a lot of people, it's like baggy, oversized.
Yes.
Like,
baseball jacket type situation. What was yours?
It was a baseball jacket, but they made it like proper fitting.
And
it just didn't give the same. And I was so irritated because we all said we wanted like a size bigger. So it can be that size. We all get it. It's fitting. It's tight. It's right on the shoulder. No. And we're just like, no. Which is also another reason why I don't wear it. Because I'm just like, Mara, it ruins the whole vibe.
It really doesn't give. Oh, no. I cannot imagine.
Also,
fitting baseball jacket. Where have you seen that?
Come on.
In the history of anything.
Like,
judging.
Literally. But, you know, we don't wear that. Because as you said, hey, you know, usually on round campus, we see class of 2024, class of 2023.
Exactly.
And it's like, oh.
At least you guys are class of 2020 something.
Hey, so
I was still in the tent. You know? I'm sorry. I've been here for a minute.
Yeah. And it's okay.
And you see, now I have to explain myself. Oh no, it doesn't.
Like,
you don't need to know my age. It's okay.
Literally, like it's all right. It's fine.
Let
it's
the
good.
Cutie pie face just like play you.
You know,
think I am super super young because I'm looking like a cutie pie. That's
period.
It.
Yeah.
We're about to head into like really 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 sad news, but it's also something that I feel, I guess, is also relating to students.
Mm.
Last week we had a really, really big tragedy happen off campus, and we also had incidents on campus. And since then, it's just been something that we wanted to look at per se, like what is happening within these schools that's making students unsafe.
True.
And unfortunately, we're realizing now more than anything, where in varsity, the safety issue is basically with regards to crime.
Mm.
And that's just people getting robbed and then unfortunately losing their lives when robbers just encounter them. In high school and primary school, the teachers are the ones who are transgressors. Oof. Which is really, really, really hard to navigate.
Because now it's like, how do you speak out when you are dealing with a powerful figure?
Exactly. And when the powerful figure themselves is supposed to be like super trusted.
Mm.
So it's a two-way thing. I've realized, you know, shout out to Mkhwanazi, because honestly, he made us realize that the media outlets actually tend to play in your face more often than not.
True.
Because there are two stories about 52-year-old teachers, right?
Mm.
And one of the teachers is charged with sex trafficking, indecent assault, and having a brothel.
Okay.
Yeah. This is a 52-year-old teacher, ne? Then the other one is charged with indecent assault, also touching minors and the like. Mm. Now, these two, this is people of the same age,
yeah,
two different genders, two different races.
Okay.
Their stories are told in two completely different ways.
Mm.
So the teacher who has been charged with sex trafficking, her name and surname and the region that she's in have been leaked in the pub. Not even leaked. They're literally talking about it all over.
Yeah.
This is a Mtata-based teacher. Ooh, I'm not going to even say her name. You'll probably look it up, but she'll be able to. And this is a black teacher from a primary school. And apparently it said that from this lady's been basically taking people from Mtata and surrounding areas, having them come up to where she is, letting them rent out rooms, and then convincing them to turn into prostitutes.
Oh, my word.
Exactly. And how she gets her money by right is by charging them per night for using those rooms. Imagine using young people who are like seeking employment, and you'll just let them know, oh, no, there's employment for you here. And then they pull through only to find that they actually have to sell their bodies.
And it's just like, it's such a sad thing because the hope that they had is now lost, because now it's dashed. Like, because now you're in a new area and it's like, what do I do?
Exactly. There's no way out. I think that's also the messed up thing about it is sometimes when you're in an area you don't know, there really is no way out.
True.
So you're very vulnerable. Now, the second 52-year-old teacher has been a coach, a water polo coach, is in sports clubs, goes rock climbing with students. They go on camping trips and whatever else.
It sounds like a bougie school.
Right?
Yeah.
It is a bougie school. Mm. Now, this school itself, literally, the teacher has been said to have been molesting kids from the year 2000.
25 years.
2000. Until I think the first case came out in 2021. The first student to speak out came out in 2021, and that student, unfortunately, successfully committed suicide 3 weeks later. This teacher, no name, not a human being that exists. He's somewhat of a ghost, so to speak, because the media has respected his privacy so much. So much. And you're like, but you didn't give that lady the same courtesy. And that story just came out recently. And they're both doing absolutely atrocious things.
Exactly.
And it begs the question, obviously, what is happening in these schools that these people have so much power to not only hurt people, but oppress them so hard? Especially this man who has been doing it for close to 20 years.
Yet it's like his identity
is kept so secret and whatever. Do you know I had to go to Facebook to look this person up and I say it's a white old man? And I'm like, okay. All right.
We see why.
We understand why. Mm. It's an old white man and his identity is being protected. But because it's a black woman from Mtata who is teaching at a primary school in a rural area, she can get her name put. We've got pictures of her at church.
Like.
Pictures of her, I don't know where. I'm like, guys, this man, the only pictures you'll ever see of him is old sports pictures with these young kids. Apparently, some alumni from the school have been saying they're only just now coming out and telling us what this teacher had done because of the fact that they realized one kid lost their life because of how scared they were.
I'm speechless. And right? It just also, as you say, begs the question of like the unfair treatment. Mm-hmm. Like, because both of them, hey.
atrocious acts.
But it's like, how come the Mr. Mans can just basically, if he doesn't get convicted, go out, live his life?
Because he's a ghost. Mm. He could go live in another province and like literally live on. And he's such a ghost, no one would know. But this one lady, her face is plastered all over the place. There's no way you wouldn't know. Like, even if you looked her up, you would find her.
And then it's like, it's weird. And it just shows our system and
it does.
How it treats certain things where it's like, if you're part of a certain identity, a certain race, it's like, when you do bad things, it's a sin.
Yeah.
We're going to plaster you. Yeah. But when you have privilege,
it's a completely different thing.
You know, all of a sudden you find the comments on social media being on some, I mean, we got to respect people's privacy.
Exactly. Like, let's wait while the investigation is going on. Mind you, this lady just got charged last week, Thursday. Mm. This man has been in court since 2021. But we know her name.
But we don't know her
surname. We know what she's up to. We know what she does. But we don't know anything about this guy. We know nothing about him.
And at this point, we can't even guarantee whether justice will be served.
Apparently, it's looking so murky. I think it's also because of the fact that he's out on bail. He was out on bail. And even like the deceased student's mom was like, I thought we were coming into court right now to just talk about the bail issue, because him being out on bail is just not okay.
Literally.
And they were just like, the judge was just like, yeah, no, we're just going to extend his bail. They start proceedings in November.
And this has been going on for like 4 years.
Exactly. Like, it feels like a Senzo Meyua happening all over again.
Honestly. Literally. Because it's like, all of these cases is like, they take so many years just for at the end to be like, ah, he's innocent, he can go. And
exactly.
It's like,
ah. It's very worrying.
It is, because it's like, you can't even guarantee where all of the students, even the ones who haven't spoken up, mm-hmm. will they get justice?
Exactly.
And even if he does get sentenced, you may find a lot of the times what happens, like, ah, you know, slap on the wrist, 1 year in prison.
Absolutely. Or even at some point, he's eligible for parole.
Exactly.
But she won't be. And so it really is, it's a look at the media perspective of certain things, but it's also a look at the fact that it seems as if young people are not safe.
Mm.
We're not safe in primary schools, in high schools. We're not even safe in varsity, which begs the question then, what is it about getting an education that's so scary nowadays? Because like, our safety really is at play right here.
Literally.
And that's scary.
Because all we want is to liberate ourselves as people. But
exactly.
Now the people who are supposed to guide and aid us in that journey are now taking advantage of that. And
I cannot imagine. It feels, I don't know what it is. Like, last week was scary in a way.
It was.
And it was, you could feel just how vulnerable we really, really are. It's realizing the fact that, you know, you really are at the mercy of these people more often than not. You're at the mercy of whatever it is that the university deems an appropriate means of action. And you're thinking about it and you're like, protection services, guys. In an emergency, is that going to be helpful? Can we trust that the school has it handled? Because one thing about the school, they're not, and you know what, actually, I'm going to say it. The school doesn't really care much about our safety on campus.
Mm.
And it's something that is super, super visible. One thing about the school, they'll tighten up security when there's a protest.
Yes.
You will find men in black attire with an AK-47 looking like, what?
What are you trying to do?
Outside MBs when you're looking like, okay, these are monsters. But when it's time to actually assess the safety of students on and off campus, it's, oh no, Protection Services is here for that.
And it's
they can handle. There's a green route on Admiralty. You guys, you'll find your way home.
And it's like, firstly, like with this green route, what is even a green route actually?
It's apparently okay. So you see on Admiralty those red poles that are written like emergency at the top.
Yeah.
So it's a panic button. If you press it, by right, Protection Service is supposed to come around to where you are.
Yeah.
And then they'll help you. So there's apparently there's like cameras attached to them, so you know it's easier for certain things, but it seems a lot of people are saying these things don't work.
Because I also look at them and I'm like, do they even work?
Like,
I barely see Protection Services like on Admiralty even.
Barely see them on campus.
Like, let's even start there.
You see them late at night when you're studying at the library and you're coming out and they're just checking buildings. That's when you see them. Where else do you see Protection Services?
And like, even when you do see them, it's like, no shade to them, but they don't give like, I'm going to protect you. It's just giving like, you know, I'm just here for the paycheck.
And you know what? Like, we can appreciate the fact that, look, fees must fall broad with it in sourcing, and that's great. But I think part of what's happening now is self-sabotage from within.
Literally.
They're saying, oh, damn, we'll give you insourcing. I mean, you've been fighting for it or whatever. But now they're making sure that the quality of whatever insourcing they're doing is mediocre at best.
Because it's like, we brought the question, can we really rely on protection services?
Exactly.
Because even some of them have attitudes.
Oh, absolutely.
So it's like, even if you do call them and you're like, oh, my phone got stolen while I was walking by the crowd, they're going to be like,
why was your phone out?
And it's just like, why can't my phone out be in varsity?
You kids. Now, always have your phone out and your earphones in. Okay, this is supposed to be a campus where I'm supposed to feel safe. So what's happening?
Even in things like the library, lecture halls.
Guys, also, who does that? Like, I can understand, like, it's looking murky, guys. You know, year end, there's no money. Okay. Do you understand the amount of cameras in this place? I just don't understand. Like, what's your motivation? Like, there's so many cameras here. What do you mean? Like, I used to go to UJ and you could leave like your bag maybe for like an hour in a library in an open space. You'll come back and you'll find it there. You know why? Because there's cameras. More often than not, there's no blind spots in UJ. UJ is like one big building.
Yeah.
It's all connected. So there's no way you're going to get away with what you're doing. There are cameras everywhere. They're bound to catch you at least three times.
But here.
Yeah.
Hey, there's blind spots everywhere.
Guys, we live on a nature reserve. We're a walking blind spots.
And it's like, even that other story where like somebody got attacked because they were like thieves in the bushes. Like,
what was that about? Also, like, the fact that you guys can hide in bushes is crazy.
Like, ish.
Oaks, what are you doing?
Like,
you crime.
How, like, that's how dangerous it is.
Right?
Like, people even hiding in bushes. Yo, all right, guys. Like,
yo, this nature reserve, guys. Yo. We thought the monkeys were the only thing that was actually a problem formed against us. Nah.
There's people in bushes.
There are thugs in bushes.
And even now with the camera thing, I remember like a classmate of mine, I think they wrote an exam, but it was like, there was an issue with like the marking and stuff.
Okay.
So it's like her paper didn't get marked.
Ooh.
And then they tried to prove that, you know, she did write the exam. But because the camera wasn't working in that lecture hall, they couldn't have proof and she had to repeat the module.
She didn't have like a signature, didn't take a register or anything, no signature, no nothing.
She did, but apparently that also got lost.
Ah, that's sabotage.
That is sabotage.
That's absolute sabotage.
So like such instances prove that like, okay, yes, we have cameras, but are they even working?
Exactly. What's the point of them? I think in WUSU not recently, I think last year, someone was caught cheating in the main hall. So you know like what Sports Center looks like during exam time?
Yes.
You know how full it is? They got caught because like there was security looking through the camera in real time being like, this person's cheating. And it was two of these people sitting next to each other and it was like, oh my goodness. I was thinking about them like Sports Center, NMU.
Like,
Doubtful. I mean, they always scare us and go, the cameras are looking at you. I'm just like, well... We don't know about that. We don't even know if they're working. That's actually the scary part about things.
Literally. And even like everybody complains about the aspect that like when it comes to South Campus and North, anybody can just walk in.
Yes. Pedestrians. Oh, wow. What a time.
Like.
What an absolute beautiful time. I think the only thing that I can appreciate is I have seen our security, the ICT people, live jive looking for like a specific number plate at one point in time. I went there for like my staff card and they were like looking for a specific thing. But you don't realize it. At the boom gates, there are cameras.
Really?
Facing your license plate.
Yeah.
So whether or not you stop for them to scan, your license plate is captured by the cameras there. Either way. So they were looking for that. They were like, okay, there's only like two entrances where cars are coming and they're saying this incident happened at this time. So they're looking within the hour around. And I was like, wow.
Okay.
It's giving CSI.
Literally.
I can appreciate that. That's cool. So they could find those cars and they could see what time the car left and what time it got in. And obviously there's not much else that you can find. You can't really see like where it drove in and out of. The only time like you can see it is... I think around near the circle near North.
Yeah.
That's the only place where I've seen cameras at the top. But that's it.
And it's just like, At least it's something.
At least it's something. But I'm not going to lie to you. If a pedestrian walked onto campus and decided to terrorize people and then walked off, they would not know anything.
Literally, because it's like, at this point, it's like, was that even a student?
It's a free for all here. Like, as long as you want to. No scanning, no nothing. I don't know how people do that.
It's crazy.
I've never understood it.
Most universities in South Africa, you have to scan to get in.
Yeah.
Student card or something.
You'll see a long line outside gate 2 at UJ. I remember that was my gate.
Mm.
The line is so long. Make sure you don't get late to class. You have to get there on time because that line is long. They don't care. Security is just like, you're not going to go around. You're going to stand there and you're going to click. And if it doesn't click, then you're going to call somebody. Proof of registration now.
Yep.
Yeah. None of that.
It's only at second half where...
Yeah, no, second half. Also, second half security does not play.
They do not play. Like, because I know, like, some students, like, they try to, like, walk...
Yeah, use the big gates. Mm. They're like,
go back.
It's just like, oh, my God, it's not that serious. But you realize now, security is necessary, even if it's going to be a pest for the students. But it's necessary because you feel safe on the campus.
True. Because it's like, now it's, we don't even know. You look at somebody on campus like, are you a student? Or like, are you...
Whomst are you?
Mm.
Why are you here?
Yeah. And now you don't want to throw accusations at people.
But it's also not looking cute.
Hey, because now, I mean, also at the end of the day, students can also do crimes. So.
Actually.
Hey.
It could, the cry could be coming from inside the house.
Literally. And I think it's crazy because now every time like, a certain friend or acquaintance of yours can post statuses on their WhatsApp saying, I'm selling iPhones. And just like,
where are we getting these iPhones? You know, at the Travis Scott thingy concert, someone was like, I'm going to Travis Scott. Tell me which phones you want real quick.
Oh.
He's like, I'm about to go into the mosh pit. Tell me how many phones, what kind of phones you want real quick. His phone got stolen though. So, karma.
Karma, karma indeed. Because it was like,
what are you doing?
Why? Like, people just want a mosh pit.
Like, people are trying to jump around. They're like, whips. I wonder, but no one talked about the crime there. So I don't think many things happened.
True.
I'm so glad. They mustn't embarrass us before the poopoo man, guys.
Yes.
The Americans already have so much to say about us.
So
don't add to the problems we have as a country.
Like, it's too much. Like. Yo, we're going through the most, actually. Like, we are going through so much because we can't feel safe on campus. We can't feel safe in our lecture halls. Can we feel safe anywhere?
Nowhere. And you know what the thing is also? Money is scarce. And that's why people are gambling.
Ooh.
Another problem in this country.
Ish.
Have you seen the amount of advertising that gambling brands do?
It gets a lot. Like, right? It's so much. Like, all the games you play, websites, you always see something about gambling.
Exactly. Like, win a jackpot, whatever. Now you're realizing that they're also sponsoring, like, sports events. Mm. And people are, like, really comfortable talking about gambling. Apparently, people, the gambling owners, let's say, you know, they made close to $2 billion in the past year.
That's a lot of money.
$2 billion rand. Because of all that advertising. Basically, a third of gamblers say they use surplus funds, meaning a concerning 63 are likely using funds intended for essentials, savings, and other financial commitments. Imagine your parent using your school fees because Pirates and Chiefs are playing and he feels like, wow, we're going to be lucky tonight.
Ish!
And then things get really murky. Then what happens?
Because now you lost the money now.
It is so sad. Apparently, like, the gambling helplines and stuff like that, there's been so many calls of people being like, yo, I lost all of my money in this thing. Like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know what to do. I really am depressed about this. I don't know how to support my family. I've lost all of this money. And it's like, look, in as much as we can blame the people themselves for making the decision to gamble, I'm not going to lie to you. All of this gambling advertising is a lot.
It is.
Hollywood bets everywhere. Apparently, like, Cape Town International has an entire Hollywood bets vibe happening. Flags all over the place. And I'm like, what?
Isn't, like, even the Durban Stadium, Moses Mabhida, also now Hollywood bets stadium?
You see? Like, also, where do these people get the audacity to do that? Also, why is no one regulating this?
True, because I know in, like, other countries where it's, like, sometimes gambling's illegal or, like, the advertising is, like,
I think they should ban gambling advertising. I'm not going to lie to you. I say this because in Johannesburg, I think also it's because of the fact that we're working with like different laws, right, in different spaces. So in Johannesburg, let's say Gauteng.
Yeah.
In Gauteng, there's a specific act, a liquor act and a gambling act also. Mm. Like the one board is there. If you realize a lot of the advertising that's been done, many of the people are talking about the Mpumalanga and the Western Cape Act.
Ooh.
Which means they're the loosest acts that allow for a lot of advertising. And by right, if those people operate from these two provinces, naturally then they're allowed to do whatever.
Finding a loophole in the system, you know?
Exactly. Because now in Cape Town, no wonder Hollywood Bets has an entire flag situation going on when you land and you're about to leave.
Mm.
Of course you can see that. It's because of the fact that their act, their regulations are super loose. In Mpumalanga, the same thing.
Mm.
So now it begs the question, why is it that we don't centralize all of this? But then you realize also centralizing those kind of laws and legalities is a mess.
True.
Because the Liquor Act itself alone in Joburg or Gauteng, it's a mess.
It's a mess in its own, and it also goes back into politics because like different provinces are ruled by different political powers. Now if you try to centralize it, certain parties and people can be like, you're trying to set an agenda.
Exactly.
We lose the plot at that point.
We really do. And unfortunately, we don't really look at like how it's affecting the young people or the people in general. I mean, look at the Liquor Act. The fact that people are like super... Guys, people are making money from selling liquor.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money to be made there. I see it in my neighborhood alone. And by right, I'm not going to lie to you, all of these people, by right, legally within that act, none of those establishments are supposed to work at all. They're not even supposed to be in business. Why? You can't be close to a school or a church.
Mm.
There are 5 liquor minimum, mind you.
Yeah.
5 liquor establishments around my neighborhood, 2 schools and 2 churches.
The fact that there's more liquor establishments than schools
and churches is insane. And I'm like, first of all, there is an entire liquor establishment right in front of a school and a church. So the school is in the front, the church is in the back, and then cross the road, and that's the liquor establishment. That's where groove happens all the time. I'm not even going to lie to you. That's what the situation is.
And it's like, it also now poses the question of like, when it comes to like the land laws and like the zoning. It's is it even taken seriously?
Because also zoning laws, I think, the messed up thing is, we're going to have to like unpack racism. Oh my God. But the zoning laws basically were meant to be prescribed, I guess, to like suburbs and stuff. Mm. Like you can't be 500 meters, I think, radius of a school or a church and whatnot in Johannesburg. Makes sense. Absolutely. Mm. But you cannot tell me that in these suburban settlements, like the townships, that's going to be possible. There's not enough space for anything in the townships.
True.
Everything is very close together. That was the entire point of what townships were built for. So it makes sense, yes, that all of these things are close together, but your regulations don't reflect the reality of the people. And that's the problem, is you're going to set this out and say 500 meters, and if those people who want to start liquor establishments want to start them, they have to go and get a letter from the priest and a letter from the principal of whichever schools that they're in close proximity to. Give the priest a good grocery package and the school donates the school's garden, and then you're good.
Even give the principal a bottle of Hennessy.
Exactly.
And just be like, yeah, we...
How anything is possible. Like,
and it's just like, in such a scenario, it's like, you can't even guarantee like the safety, because it's like, we know in a lot of communities what happens is that, you know, after school, because things are loose, kids can go in that liquor establishment and do whatever they want.
And the thing is also, okay, fine, we're going to say they don't sell to people in uniform and stuff. But you do realize that Mukhodu Mondays happens on a Monday in front of the school. Okay, fine. Let's say these liquor establishments close at 2:00. These students live close by. You think they're not out here like able to get into this in their free clothing?
Like,
come on. I think there's not enough precautions being done with regards to liquor and gambling themselves. And I think these two provinces themselves are like, Yeah, no, they're doing the most for us, guys.
Yeah, they do.
People are making money in Western Cape and in Mpumalanga clearly.
And I guess also because like tourism is so huge in those two provinces, they know that, okay, everybody's going there during the holidays and like foreign tourists and stuff like that. So they know that, we can capitalize on this. And it just begs the question, yes, you can capitalize, but then what effect does this have on the people?
Yes, especially the people within the country. It's all great and fine that tourists come here from overseas, but what about the people in the country?
True. And even with the liquor law, like I think the other day at Boardwalk, I saw that, like, for example, children are not allowed to walk in the like Checkers liquor without an adult. Oof. Or even at all, actually.
Let's hope that. Like, I hope so.
Which is like, okay, this is a great rule, but it's like, this is applied in a suburb.
Ah, see? Mm. So we don't know what it's looking like in the townships. Mm. We don't know what's going on. But also, the funny thing is, you know you can find a loophole because Checkers 6060 delivers.
True.
And they deliver on campus too. And by rights, those packages are covered. They won't be able to tell what's in there. So. And so too does Pick and Pay.
Mm.
So, yes, also, guys, I need us also realize that we're not all over the age of 18. At the school.
True.
Like, we have some really young prodigies here at this place. So they could also have liquor delivered to them.
And it's like, no one's going to check their ID.
How are you going to tell? You also, you'll walk past security. Security is not going to be like, what's in your bag? Let's see your groceries. They don't care about that. As long as you don't make noise with the bottles, go up.
You know?
That's the messed up thing. That's where it gets murky. Because it means we don't really have regulations around things. And I mean, Eastern Cape itself had a story back, I think a couple of years back, where a bunch of young kids went to a tavern, remember that? And they were drinking, and then they all died, and there was a stampede and whatever else, and some of it was liquor poisoning, alcohol poisoning and stuff. And it was just like, the entire country was like, what happened? And then we all forgot about it shortly after.
And we just like moved on, which is like, oh, you know?
Yeah, like, oh, it happened, sorry.
And I think like when it comes to like alcohol, what's the word? Alcoholism, if that's the correct word.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's been so normalized within the country because, you know, South Africa, we have like a huge, you know, party groove, having fun culture. Yeah. And, you know, we love good times.
Yeah.
But I do feel like it gets now concerning where now it starts to look murky. Lines get to be blurred when like most people you know, most people you ask them on the street, like, yeah, I started drinking when I was 14. And it's like, huh?
Wait a minute. Let's unpack that. What do you mean? You're a victim, ma'am. What's going on?
It's like you find like people who are younger than you, who are not even, who are like just turned 18. They can outdrink you.
And yeah.
It's like, yes, you might like giggle about that, but when you really think about like, it, it's like,
where did you learn this? Absolutely.
It's concerning.
The drinking culture, I think one of my biggest shocks moving to Eastern Cape was the drinking culture here.
Yes.
The weekend starts on a Wednesday in Eastern Cape, like, guys. Starts on a Wednesday. Whether or not you have money, you have means, the weekend starts on a Wednesday.
And it's just like, in the morning, you see people already carrying
lit bottles of black. Like, you're like, guys, what's happening? What do you mean you have all of this alcohol? What do you mean you're drinking on campus? What do you mean you're drinking at all?
Like,
it's during the day, guys. But it's something that you can like, yeah, it's very, very normalized. But we also saw it during lockdown. True. People were willing to buy alcohol even though alcohol was banned. People are buying alcohol for 1,000 rand that would otherwise cost 500. What do you mean?
Like,
it can't be that bad, Oaks.
Like, it can't be that serious.
It really can't be.
And even with gambling and all the advertising that goes within it, it's like, through all the advertising, it's, I feel like we see it so much that it's even like, it tempts you now, where it's just like, sometimes you see an ad, you're like, maybe I should try it out, who knows?
And that then, aviator ad.
Hey!
I'm like, I would have stopped when it got to that, well, once that flight got to the top, I would have stopped and I would have gotten the money out immediately. But I'm also thinking to myself, wait, what do you mean? I would have.
Have.
What are you doing? And I think also games that we play on our phones are also leading us in that direction.
True. And even the culture of like, you know, like the online trading, Bo Betway.
Yeah, one.
Hey!
It's like, also, you guys cannot be that stressed watching soccer because you put money on it.
Yeah. Doesn't it take the fun out of it?
It really, I feel like it does.
Mm.
I'm just here, I'm supporting Chiefs, and you know, we're against each other. Pirates, Chiefs, yeah, there's a fight. you're taking it seriously. You want to put hands on me now all of a sudden since my team won and I'm throwing it in your face because you put money on it.
It's like...
I cannot imagine doing that, guys.
Yeah, no.
No. Let's make better choices. I think as varsity students, it's very important that we do, that we are aware and we're conscientized of like what's happening.
True.
Because if you can see it, then you'll be able to like avoid it surely, hopefully, that is. Yeah.
So it's quite interesting. And I do feel like the varsity as well should like make resources.
Please.
For such like behaviors, so, like for people who are struggling with it to get help.
Yeah. We definitely need like helplines and the like, yeah.
Because like without it, then I do feel like people can feel kind of stuck.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, it is an addiction. And like addiction is something that very serious and hard to get out of.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's very...
And it chows your pockets.
Yo!
Nothing will chow your pockets like an addiction. Addiction.
Yeah, no, addictions are... They're too much.
Right.
Hey.
What a worrying circumstance. Oh my goodness.
Like, it's... Yo, the things we go through in this life, because listen, not only are we faced with so much like gambling and liquor advertising in like both the suburb and the townships, now the townships are struggling with electricity.
Hey, yo, let's have that conversation.
Nelson Mandela Bay is just going through a lot, because what happened was, basically, they tried to recoup 1 billion rand of lost electricity revenue through all the disconnects, all the power outages that have been happening in the city. Like, that's a lot of money.
Oh, my word. Where did they try to get this from?
I don't even know where they even try to get these funds from, because also now, this also kind of was brought to light due to a strike that happened on the Wednesday, 15th of October, where basically there's this, like, informal settlement of Grogro around like Krachekamme Road, that other side of PE, where residents were striking because their illegal connections to electricity were cut off.
Oh.
Now.
See, now we have to unpack illegal things, because what do you mean?
You see, there's two sides.
You're mad that they didn't give you electricity, but you're not supposed to be there in the first place.
True.
But also, everybody deserves dignity. It is twofold. And also, squatters' rights are like a very big thing.
Definitely.
You can't... Yo, guys. Yo, yo, yo. If you knew the rights that people had as squatters on your land... And this is also a civil case. It's not criminal. So, if it's civil, you have to go to court for it. You can't bring the police on there to say, these people are trespassing on my land or whatever else. It's not possible. Only until a certain amount of time had passed. Then and only then can you bring police. So if they're there for maybe like a first 3 months, the police can come and say you're trespassing. You're not supposed to be here. But after a while, those people live there. Their livelihoods depend on them living there. And you have no way to take them out unless you take them to court.
True.
And what is that piece of paper going to do? Is it going to stop them? Is it going to move them out?
No.
They deserve rights when they're there. These people are living there. This is their housing, their informal settlement, which means they deserve electricity. They deserve dignity, water, sanitation. They need to be taken care of. So now it's a, do we have a housing problem in PE?
True.
First of all, that is so big that it's become something that big that it affects their electricity or electricity in general. Imagine 1 billion. How many people are there in that informal settlement?
Like, that's a lot of people. And it also reminds me of this, like, a similar issue, but not electricity-based, that happened basically, like, from, like, where I'm from. There's this, like, informal settlement that I was, like, it was called Glen Marikana. Have you heard of it before?
I've heard of it.
So, like, it was in Kempton Park, basically. And, like, so, like, basically the squatters, they camped on, like, that plot of land. And, like, right next to it was a mall. And, like, the owners of the land wanted them out. So they went to, like, the high court. And the high court was like, listen, you got to provide. I'm not sure whether the government was supposed to provide them with alternate.
Yes.
Yeah, it's the
government, supposed
right?
to get alternative housing. Either the developers themselves or the government itself. But you have to make sure that they have somewhere to go.
True.
Because they have housing, dignity, and the like. So in order for them to be able to like move away, get them alternative housing.
And like I remember with that case, the murky thing was is that like the government did have alternative housing, but like on the far side of the East Rand.
Labon.
So now it's like they're in Kempton Park. Now you're putting them at the edge of
You're living Benoni. Lavish.
Like,
imagine going to Benoni. They're not going to make it in Benoni for a week. Do you know the Maparako Benoni?
Like,
guys, I've been to Benoni, trust me. No one wants to live in Benoni. No one wants to live in Benoni, guys, please.
Like, so it was murky because also, even though those houses on that side weren't even finished, because I think they're RDPs, so they weren't enough to cater for the population of Glen Marikana. You so see? It's like they had to stay. And just now, the whole loophole behind that, it's not even the only issue that happens, because I think this is very popular in Joburg. Because
yeah.
There's so many like squatter camps.
And, definitely. And Joburg is the hub for that.
Literally. Mm. So it's just interesting that now in PE, we're having the same thing. But now with that comes illegal connection. And also considering now that the Nelson Mandela Bay like department is also still struggling with electricity because that Arlington substation.
Oh, if I hear one more thing about Arlington, I swear I'll scream. My goodness, what a station. They do so little. I woke up with no electricity the other day and I was like, I know. No one announced this.
Literally.
No one told us this was going to happen. That's how you know we're living lavish though also. Because we're really in the suburbs talking about, oh, we'll let you know when you don't get electricity.
True.
Back home in Joburg, my mom and my best friend, they don't have electricity. They didn't have electricity since yesterday. They woke up today, no electricity still. There's only so much you can do with an inverter and a generator, guys.
Yeah.
There's only so much you can do with gas.
Literally.
It gets a lot. I think, but I'm not going to lie to you, informal settlements are a very scary, scary, scary phenomenon. I'll mention, like, I think in Joburg, you're right. In Joburg, there's a lot of informal settlements. So there was a guy who basically, I don't know if he inherited a piece of land or whatever, and people were living on there, and they were illegal connections and whatever else. So they started basically a fire, an electric fire, to make sure that those people were gone.
Ah.
Whichever way. Because if you're saying they need a good place for them to live, make sure that the land is unbearable for them to live. And that's the messed up part about it.
True.
Because why would you go to those ends? And unfortunately, that person got their land.
But it's like, what happened to the people?
Exactly. Because it's just like, okay, but this is unbearable, so you have to find a different place now to live. Because you can see your things are burnt down. It's looking murky. The land is no more. You can't really rebuild here. Go find another place. And those people knowing that what that man did, realized just how dangerous he could be.
True. Because if he can do that, who knows what he could have done?
If you're willing to set us alight, no, let's call it a day.
Yeah.
Thanks for the land, but we're out. Me and my kids were out. Just go find another place. But most places, they really don't care. Like, they're about that life.
True.
Thug life forever. Like, let's go. You want to burn me down? I'll show you something fire.
Like, and especially, like, if they rally the community, it's a whole war type of thing. Because, it gets, when it comes to electricity, it gets really murky. And even, like, the municipality actually petitioned for a 12% tariff hike. So, like, to increase electricity prices by 12%.
Imagine. So you can imagine there's going to be a lot more illegal connections.
Because that's expensive. 12% is a lot.
I'm not trying to pay all that money for electricity. That's too much. It's way, way, way too much. Also, there's so many things that require electricity. Your lights, your kettle, your stove, charging. Also, when did we get to a point where we have to charge our accessories? I'm charging earphones and a watch, guys.
Like,
what's happening?
Let's unpack that.
Yo,
like,
when did this happen? Like, last night I was thinking about it. I'm like, guys, I'm charging so many things and they don't even make sense to me. Why am I charging earphones?
Like, can we not just use them as they are?
Exactly. Like, when did this change? I'm charging my phone, my tablet, my laptop, and then it's the watch, the earphones, and now there's two sets of earphones. Guys,
the amount of electricity that's going out.
Exactly.
And it's like, our chargers can never catch a break.
My charger's always on in a plugged socket somewhere. Look, even now, I left something charging in the room.
Because it's like, we always have to charge something.
Something is always battery low. I'm so annoyed by it. Just like the thought of it. It just, yo, I'm tired. I think if honestly I possibly can, I'm going to get a burner phone and go ghost. I cannot.
Because it's a lot.
At this point, I don't want to participate.
Because it's just too much. And it's just like, with all of this power usage and Eskom, looking very murky, what must happen?
What is going to happen? Imagine if there's no electric cars. How are they going to charge every time Arlington decides, no, Tina, our station is just not doing the most. Now your car's not going to be able to be in use. Now you have to do what? Oh, I'm stressed thinking about it. Like, there's just too much. There's too many things. And I feel like, honestly, guys, also, these watches needing to be charged are pissing me off. Like, we need to do better.
Yeah, we're like, we just need these watches for time.
When did we accept that this was a thing that was happening? Mm. When did we say, no, it's okay, it's fine? Like, let's get watches that need to be... Earphones are my biggest cry. Like, I've had a day where my earphones were battery low in the morning.
Ah.
My chest. Because I know, even on the walk back, I'm not going to be listening to anything.
Mm.
My chest.
Maybe that's why we need to go back to the wired earphones, wired headphones.
Please, let's go back to old school things.
Yeah.
Even a speaker on your shoulder at this point, because wow.
Maybe even have like a solar paneled speaker, because it's like, you are...
At this point, why don't they just put solar panels in the earphones and then we just put them in the sun? Also, but now what about winter? See, now we have to think of other things. Let's bring back the wired.
Like, easy things.
Honestly, because even iPhone has run out of options. Look at the kind of phones they're making now. Let's go back to basics.
Because we're getting too fancy now.
It's too much.
Like, it's running about how, like, basically now everything in life needs subscription. Why?
I am so annoyed by that thought. Even the free trial needs you to actually register your credit card or your debit card. Why?
Why?
What do you mean?
Why do you want my banking details?
What business is it of yours? I'm here for free.
Mm.
What do you want from me? Oh, Spotify. They're like, okay, no, we'll give you a student discount. That student discount doesn't feel like a student discount.
True.
It just increased recently.
And it's just like, this is just to listen to music.
Imagine.
Like, yes, I know the artists need to get paid, but also, hey, that's a whole nother topic where, hey, you know, streaming and...
You know, copyrights, your performers act, hey. Yeah, no, actually... Our country is doing too little.
Literally, like, it's doing too little, and I don't even know what to do at this point. Like, what must happen?
Honestly. But there are a lot of conversations to be had, and I think part of the conversations that we would be having over the next couple of weeks are post-election conversations.
Ooh, I'm excited for that.
Right? We're going to be having post-election conversations, and you have that to look forward to. Just find out from your leaders, man, what is it that they plan to do? I mean, the seats have been given. We've gotten provisional results, and it's been like a week now, so we should probably have final results, and we'll know the seats and how they're allocated and the like, and we'll be able to tell how they're going to govern the next year. So definitely keep tuned for that.
Definitely. I'm very excited for that, because listen, it's about to go down. It's about to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Because hey, those results, the right results, I was like,
the
okay.
Drama.
Yo! It was a lot. It was a lot.
I cannot wait. They even in court. The school's in court. Did you know?
I heard. I was like, oh, what's
Sasko's not playing with the school.
You know,
love their work, honestly.
Like,
love their work.
I love the audacity.
Right?
It's like, take them to court, relevant.
Because you're not afraid of, like, I'm not going to lie to you. I am sure people are afraid of being maliciously prosecuted by an institution as big as NMU.
True.
So I can imagine giving that step, that big, big step of saying, you know what, it doesn't matter. So long as we want free and fair elections, we're willing to go up against this big system. I'm like, okay, I'm impressed. Because I'm not afraid of anything. The one thing is it not going to affect your stay here at this institution?
Definitely, because they do have the power to be like, oh, you're trying to sue us?
You can sue, Anger. So go and find alternative accommodation off campus.
You
people who sue us are not allowed here. Imagine. Exactly. I think that's the biggest thing. Like, Dr. Pedro Mzileni always says, more often than not, black students are afraid to go up against the system because they're afraid that the system is going to turn back on them. And when it does, it's going to basically cripple them in some form. And naturally, yes, I'm literally afraid to be standing up to a lecturer who's like making a microaggression about my race.
Yeah.
Had a lecturer say, you guys should be grateful you have rights. I said, what? Excuse me?
Excuse me?
What? I should be grateful I have rights.
What are you trying to say?
What do you mean?
And you're still here?
I have to sit. And mind you, this person is teaching law and a specific type of law that doesn't need him to say these things. I'm like, wait a minute.
What is going on?
What just came out of your mouth? And why is no one saying anything about it? I looked around the room. These people are quiet. I'm like, wait, guys. This is a microaggression in place right now. That's how bad it is. So you get afraid of those kind of things because you're like, he's still going to mock my paper at the end of the year.
True. So you have to kind of like...
He can't know my name. I have to be anonymous.
You just have to deal with it. Oh, the things you go through in NMU.
Yo. I'm ready to go home.
Like, you know, it's a few weeks left.
Yeah, no, I'm ready. That flight.
That flight, just yo, go back.
I'm ready to land at Oar Tambo. I'm sorry.
And just be like, welcome back home.
Right? It won't last, though. It really won't. You'll be a guest for 3 days, and then the rest of the week, it's just like...
back to business.
Yeah, back to business as usual.
And let's then you'll go. Be waiting like, okay, when is the next year starting?
When do I leave? When do I leave this place?
It's time to go back now.
Yo!
Hi, the lives that we live. But of course, this has been an amazing discussion, actually.
Right.
Like, we've learned a lot. It's looking very mixed.
It's not cute. Nothing is cute right now.
But you know what? What is cute is engaging with Madiba's Radio. Let's continue the conversation because, listen, we love engaging with you. We love spilling the tea. So, of course, find us on all social media platforms. Twitter. Why was I going to say Twitter and X? But that's okay. Hey, Mara Elon. Yo, Elon.
What an annoying chance.
Yo, that one is his own podcast and his own.
Honestly.
But of course, follow us on all social media platforms. And of course, Katlego, where can they find you on the social media platform?
You can find me on Instagram as Girl with the Nice Pants. If you find me anywhere else, you've gone too far.
You're doing too much.
Yes, you've gone too far.
Like, you're doing.
If you found me, you didn't.
And of course, you can find me at Ketura Tua on Instagram, at Tua K and Lovu on Facebook. I was about to say TikTok, but I mean, I do have a TikTok account, but
you're not letting the people know about the TikTok account.
There's nothing there.
My handles are very risque, so I can't really say them on radio.
Oh,
yeah. That's why I'm like, if you've seen me, you've gone too far.
Like,
way too far.
Look the other way.
The things, like, literally, the handle itself is a swear word. Don't do that.
But of course, this has been Science Package, a law show. Of course, same time, same place. We are saying
bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.